Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In our gospel text for today, if we read just a few verses prior to where our text begins, it tells us that Jesus came back into the region of Galilee and that the Galileans received him because they had seen all the things that he did in Jerusalem and Judea. So, there was a good deal of discussion and a good deal of talking about what Jesus had been doing. Now, in addition to this, when Jesus comes back into Galilee, he goes to Cana of all places. He revisits the scene of his first miracle. Right? It is as if he were encouraging people to believe in him, to remember the miracle that he did, and to expect him to act again. And so he is in Cana, where he had made the water wine. Now, as our text begins, there was a certain nobleman in Capernaum. Now, Capernaum was downhill from Cana, and it was about a 7-hour journey to get from Capernaum to Cana. This nobleman's son was sick at Capernaum, and when he heard that Jesus was in Cana, he made the journey from Capernaum to Cana in order to beseech Jesus to help his son. And so, he said, he went to him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So the man asks Jesus to come to Capernaum with him and to heal his son, and he tells Jesus that his son is at the point of death. This shows us that faith cometh by hearing the word of God. What would have caused this nobleman, who had every reason to avoid a popular preacher, right? He had a reputation to uphold. He can't go trafficking with popular preachers. And so he has every reason not to seek help from Jesus. But he has heard the stories of Jesus' teachings and Jesus' miracles. And faith has been begotten in his heart because of these things. And in faith, he reasons that if he can get Jesus to come to Capernaum and pray for his son will be made well. So far, so good. This man's faith increased his love for his son, and this man's faith also caused him to be a servant to his son by making an arduous journey to find help for him. Then Jesus answers the man in an unexpected way. He says, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. See, the man had faith, but his faith was not yet perfected. His faith needed some strengthening. His faith needed some correcting. You see, what the man was thinking is that it was necessary for Jesus to be physically present and actually physically touch his son in order for his son to be helped. And so in his request, when he says to come down and heal his son, his request, though it was a request of faith, it was a request of a faith that needed to be strengthened and improved. And so Jesus is not rebuking the man, because faith does not call forth rebuke. But he is gently chastening the man for his belief that it is necessary for Jesus to travel and to physically touch someone in order to be of help. So Jesus, in speaking this word, he is endeavoring to correct the man's mistaken idea. He's not rebuking his faith. He's not telling him, I don't want to help you. But he is trying to move the man from little faith to larger faith. Right? From an unclear faith to a clearer faith. And this is what God wants to do with every one of us. And this is why the things that happen to us in our lives happen. Because God, in his grace, knows what we need and knows what we must go through in order for us to cast away all of the dross of weakness and fleshliness and to firmly stand under the grace of God with faith in his graciousness, mercy, and goodness. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. The man reveals that his concern is only for his son. That is, he receives the chide of Jesus. He receives the word of Jesus, but he tells Jesus that he earnestly desires that his son be helped. Here is a man who is ready for the next step. He is now ready for what Jesus wants to give him. And so we look at the text, and Jesus says to him, Go thy way. Thy son liveth. Go thy way. Thy son liveth. Jesus graciously dismisses this man. He says, go on home. Go ahead home. Be at peace and go ahead home. Your son is alive. And your son is recovered. All right? So Jesus gives him a promise, but a promise that as of the moment did not have a sign or a wonder that was visible. Jesus simply gave him His Word. And this is the crux of the text as far as we are concerned. What Jesus desires in us is that our faith would be grounded in the Word of God only, and not require proofs, and not require signs and wonders, and not require any other scaffolding in order to find assurance of the grace of God in Christ, but simply the Word of God. You know, when we receive Holy Communion, to the eyes of our flesh, it looks like a little piece of bread, and it looks like an ordinary sip of wine. But the Word of God says of this bread and this wine, which our reason would say is simple bread and wine, the Word of God says, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you." And the Word of God says of the sacrament, "Given and shed for you for the remission of sin." And therefore, it is not by some kind of magic halo that appears over the sacrament that makes us certain that the body and blood of Christ are there. But what makes us certain is the word and promise of Christ himself, given and shed for you for the remission of sins. And this is what begets faith, and it's what sustains faith. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. And so it is here. Jesus gives this man a word. And by that word, he fills the man's heart with trust in him. And that's what Jesus does to you and to me as we hear Jesus' word of mercy and promise. And so it says in our text, the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken, and he went his way. When Jesus said, "Go thy way, thy son liveth," the man believed with true faith the word of Jesus, and he began his journey home. Now, you and I know how we are. And you must realize that for this man, it was a long journey home. Right? We always must pray, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." We are always teetering back and forth between confidence in the Lord and doubt. We always wrestle with temptation. And so this man had to make a long journey home, believing in the word of Jesus, but having to deal with his own fleshly feelings and all the questions that arise in our hearts and all the experiences that we have that contradict the word of God. And so this man took a long journey home. It was a journey in faith, but a journey that was not without trial. We must expect that our faith, our confidence in the Lord, will undergo trials. And sometimes a long period of time elapses between our prayers and the answer to our prayers. Think of Simeon and Anna, and how Anna Not Simeon. Simeon and his wife Elizabeth, right? Not Zachariah and Elizabeth. See, this is what happens. This is what happens when you come up with an idea off the cuff. They had been married for so many years. She had been barren for so many years. Probably as a couple, they had long since given up the hope that they would ever have children. And when the angel Gabriel appears to them, he says, "Rejoice. Your prayers have been heard." And you could imagine Zachariah's reaction to that. Your prayers have been heard and you will have a son. Isn't that fascinating? Sometimes there is a long elapsing of time between the prayers that we pray in faith and the answers that we receive in faith. And in that time, there are sleepless nights. And in that time, there are trials and temptations to give up on the Lord and to give up on His ever answering our prayers. But faith cometh by hearing the word of God. And the word of Jesus to this man was, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." So he went his way, and as he's traveling, his servants come running from home and they meet him on the way. And they tell him that his son has recovered. His son has recovered. "Thy son liveth." And he says, "What time did he get better? What time was it?" And they said, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." And so the father knew that it was at the same hour which Jesus said to him, "Thy son liveth." So here this man finally, after a long journey home, believing the word of God without seeing, and finally he receives the confirmation of the word of Jesus. "Your son lives." What time did he get better? "Yesterday at 1 o'clock. "Oh, that was exactly what time it was when Jesus said to me, 'Thy son liveth.'" So what was the result of this confirmation of the man's faith? He himself believed, and his entire household believed. And then John concludes our text by saying, "This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee." So, what's the point? Well, the point is that Jesus is worthy of our faith. In this text, he shows himself to be the Christ, the Son of God, by conquering death itself and doing it without having to travel in order to do it. He knows exactly who and where this child is and needs no human help or no human travel or anything like that, because the Christ, the Son of the living God, is able and willing to be gracious, and nothing constrains him from his gracious intention in our lives. And therefore, when we see him conquering death, we know that when we come to face the gate of death and the grave, we have this word: "You shall live." Why? Because he lives, we shall live also. Jesus' resurrection from the dead is the guarantee of our resurrection from the dead. And his suffering and death on the cross for the sins of the world is our guarantee that our resurrection from the dead will be celebratory and good news. We will rise to life everlasting in Christ. And so today we see how the Lord leads us from faith to faith to faith. All right? We don't get through this life without trials and tribulations, right? But we are given the word of the Lord, and in that word is all we need to abide in him until he receives us into the mansions of life everlasting. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.